heard the situation with Sister Betty, Lord, and we know that, Lord, you could make her rise up in a moment's, just one moment, just one word, Lord. We know that. We believe that without a shadow of a doubt. We've already seen the supernatural. We've already seen the healing of the death sores, Lord. We've seen your hand of mercy and grace. Lord, we know that all things are in your hands and in your control. Lord, we see the not just what she's going through, but what a pressure it's put on the family. Lord, we just ask that you would continue to strengthen them, each one. For Sister Rebecca, and Brother Michael, and Andrew, and Eric. Lord, you know what each one has been through, Lord, for the last month. And Lord, that they've put their lives on hold to gather around Sister Betty and be there for her, to support her and hold her up before you. Lord, may you just bless them, each one. Father, we've got the report that two of the brothers in Kenya, there from the Thika Church, Lord, have passed on. They've crossed over to be with you, Lord. Lord, you know the needs there, the families, Lord. You know every heart. Lord, no doubt they're in sorrow and mourning, Lord. We just ask that you would comfort them and be with them, Father. Lord, we know that you know our time, Lord, each one of us. You've already said it, Lord, the day and the hour and the minute, Lord, that you'll call us home. Lord, our desire is that we would be ready, Lord. Lord, that we would, with gladness and joy, Lord, step forth. Lord, it's never a joyous time when a loved one leaves us. And Lord, to have to go through the suffering, Lord, that comes with that time, Lord. So you may you, Father, just comfort those that are in need now, Father. And Lord, those that are sick and we're missing tonight, Lord, Brother Gumba's family, Sister Emily and the girls, the children, may you bless them and be with them. For Sister Amanda, she's been sick. Lord, we ask that you would bless her and touch her body, Lord. Give healing, Lord. Be with each one, Lord, your bride, Lord, your body around the world, Lord. We just commit all to you now. Ask that you would guide us now in the word as we go into the furtherance of this service, Lord. May you just have your way. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. And the Lord bless you. Now as we come to the word, we don't know the words to say sometime. It's really hard. And I'm sure every one of us know what it is to lose a loved one. And so it's never easy. And we do believe that Sister Betty, that she made things right in her life, amen, and that she knows where she's standing, and that if the Lord wants her to come home, that she's ready to go with him. Amen. And so we thank God for that, and that's the number one thing. And so as we go into the message tonight, I took a subject, the bride and Christ is one and the same. And we're coming down now to conclusion here in this eternal covenant. And this covenant that is to the bride, you know, Brother Branham said that the bride is under a covenant and the church is under a different covenant. Yes, sir. We're under two different covenants altogether. And so this that's to the bride in this hour is different than what it's ever been. It's, we know that God was dealing with his people all the way from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament. We know that God was dealing with the church through the seven church ages. Yes, but now there's something has happened in this day when he took the book and he laid the claim to his bride. When he made that claim, then there was a uniting. There was a uniting that began to take place with each individual one that was a member of that body. And God began to bring them together, and he brought them together for a purpose. And that purpose was that they were going to manifest him. They weren't going to manifest anything else. They were going to manifest him. And so it's the greatest hour. It's the greatest hour that's ever been on the earth. Ever before, of all of the manifestations, of all of what God has done, now it's come down now to the climax, to the conclusion, and Christ is manifesting himself in his wife. And that's a reality. That is not just words that we're saying, it's a reality what God is doing right now. And if the world is missing it, the church is missing it, I don't know what it is, but for the bride, she knows what it is, and she's a part of it. And so it's happening in her. So I want to start in the message, Jehovah Jireh. And the Lord helped me with this. I pretty much had used up the quotes that I had on these lessons. And so last night I was trying to find something, and I was trying to help the girls with their homework. And So I was doing that, and then I was looking at this, and so I was looking for a key to find the quotes that went with the thought that I had on my mind. And so I found three words, and I put them in, and it just went right, just right, brought me up some really good quotes. And so so I've been working on that since yesterday, and stayed home today from work and studied. And when I got ready a while ago to post my quotes, I always check with the printer, you know, the print preview, and it was over 100 pages. And so I thought, well, that's not gonna happen tonight. But there's some good quotes, things that the prophet said about this uniting and this oneness of the bride, or this manifestation. He's talking about a manifestation. Amen. As we were reading the other day, he was talking about vindicating his word in this day, vindicating it in you. And that's the thing that has to happen. He accepts you, and then he vindicates his presence in you. Amen. And so it's not something that we're working up. It's not something we're manufacturing. It's something that God is in control of 100%. He's in full control. He's the one who's calling. He's the one who's claiming. Amen. He's the one who's taking possession of what he wants. And then he's manifesting him, making that word live in them. Yes. And he's vindicating his presence in them. He's literally proving that it's him. So paragraph 274, I want you just to believe, just have faith. Now, don't no one move around, just set real reverent. Now he's in a prayer line, he's in a healing service, he's finishing his message, and now he's going to pray for the sick. And so now he wants the people just to calm down and believe. Just set real reverent. Now I want you to imagine standing before you in here somewhere, Christ, raised up from the dead. Come right through the walls one time, and he eat bread. And he said, feel me, I'm flesh and bones. And he disappeared right before them. See? He's wanting us to imagine that he's just right here. In the midst of two or three, he's right here. Now, he promised that he would appear in the last days in the form of human flesh again. In your flesh. That's how he promised. In your flesh, that's how he promised he's going to manifest himself. Right. See? Like he did at the days of Sodom, God, which was Christ, manifested in flesh. At the tent door of Abraham, he manifested in flesh. God came down, he made a body. Jehovah God came down in that body, and he had fellowship with Abraham. And he promised to do it again in this day. And he has done that. He's done that. He took a vessel, and God came down, and he incarnated himself in that vessel, and he began to do exactly the same thing that he did back there in those days. Right. But there was more. There was more that he promised to do. See, God was in Christ, manifested in flesh, and now in His church, His bride. That's the promise now. That's the promise now. That manifestation has been fulfilled. The gift came on the earth. The gift went around the world. The gift was a manifestation of God to show forth. Brother Branham said, every gift, every type, every shadow, everything has been proven and vindicated, shook before us in this last day.
That's right.
See, God, which was Christ, manifested in flesh, now in His church, His bride. See, they're coming together. It's a uniting time. Churches are uniting. Nations are uniting.
Amen.
And the bride and Christ is uniting. See, it's a uniting time. Praise be to God.
That's right.
Now, this I could have left this little paragraph off here, but I just wanted to throw it in because He's given instructions. He's trying to help people that are trying to work it up. He said, now just believe. Simple. Don't try and get nervous and press something. Don't try to work it up. Don't try to make something happen. Just relax. They're in the presence of God. They feel it and they want it. Some of them, maybe it's life and death. They want to receive. They've seen it. They've seen people healed. They've seen the blinded eyes. They've seen the dead raised. They've seen it in that ministry that they're standing before. And now they're moved. Their emotions are stirring. They don't want to miss it. They don't want to miss it. And He's saying, don't do anything. Don't work up anything. Don't be nervous. Don't press, because you don't get nothing. Just humbly say, Lord, I believe. Someone, just do that. See? Now, in the identification of Christ in all ages, this was about a week after the previous message. And once again, he's in prayer. He's there. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to see the risen Messiah. 1900 years of all kinds of theology and movements. See? What's happening here had not been done for 1900 years. He's not saying that here, but he's going to say that as we go along. What's happening in these meetings had not been done for 1900 years. See? All kinds of theology and movements, but still, in the darkness of all of it, You promised that You would appear here in the last days, in this Sodom day, and You would make Yourself known to the children of Abraham, the called, the elected. That's the ones that had been called when He took the book. And here You are tonight after 1900 years, and You're just as much alive tonight as You was when You talked to the woman at the well. It's God manifested in flesh. What do you think they thought? Do you think they thought He was lifting Himself up, that He was making Himself something? He was identifying the scripture for this day. He was identifying the promise for this day and telling them God is proving His word. He's proving the scripture. He's proving the prophecy. He's identifying Himself right now today. Manifested in flesh. Now in the flesh of His bride. Amen. For the bride and the husband is the self-same person, the self-same flesh. It's His body. The bride is His body that He is living in. And it's a word body. It's not just a flesh body. It's a word body. And it's a word body that's been building and building through the ages to come to this climax, to come to this time to bring forth the fullness of Him. I want to read it again. It's God manifested in flesh, now in the flesh of His bride. For the bride and the husband is the self-same flesh. These two are one. The church is becoming the bride all the time by believing the word. How are they doing it? By believing the word. So that the word in the church becomes the same. The word in the church making it the bride, see? The last sign, God identifying Himself, the word in the church. Praise be to God. You know, last sign to the world was spiritual death. He's telling us here is God identifying Himself. the word in the church, the word in the bride. Paragraph 257, oh God, may Satan loose his hold on their faith tonight. May God come in and let them know that he has identified himself right here among us. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is here with us now. The identified, resurrected Jesus Christ making himself known. Amen. Praise be to God. It's the first time he's done this since 1900 years ago. And here he is tonight. Yes. Praise be to God.
Amen.
That's why we've said over and over and over, we are the most blessed people to live in this day and to see what God has done. And not just to see it, not just to see it, to be an actual part of that manifestation. God vindicating his promise, vindicating his word. Now, I want to read out of the Church Ages book, and this is very common to all of you. You've read it many times, but it was interesting. I ran across this, and actually, Autumn and I was talking the other day, I don't know if Benjamin was there or not, but I was talking with the children, and so we got to talking about, there was the other day, they had a little scare with Russia and Ukraine that one of their drones hit a nuclear reactor, and that naturally, if that nuclear fallout, that's a very dangerous thing. And so it got us talking about it and the different things going on. And so as we were talking about it, Autumn made the statement. She said, as we was talking about the world, you know, being destroyed. And she said, well, man's going to destroy himself. And I thought, that's exactly what the scripture says. And within about 3 minutes, Brother Chris posted that quote on the group. And where Brother Branham said, man will destroy himself. And so I thought that was interesting, and I mentioned it to Brother Chris in a text. And so later on when I started looking for these quotes, and I told you I put in the three words that I was trying to find a key to get to where I wanted, and this was the first thing, the first quote that came up, was right here. It was in the Church Ages book. And so Brother Chris had also posted that. And so he had posted it earlier, though. One of them, we talked, and then he posted it. And then the other one he had posted. And then as I was studying, a part of what he had posted came up. I'm reading more, much more. But I just thought it was interesting, and the way that it came about. And so I tried to cut some of it out, but there's part here that I want to get because it's what we're talking about. Is we're talking about what God is doing, how he's manifesting and vindicating his presence in his bride.
Amen.
Paragraph 169, page 169, paragraph 2, and there it is. You can't claim that manifestation is the evidence of being spirit-born, spirit-filled. No, sir. You cannot claim that manifestation is the evidence of being spirit-born, spirit-filled. Now, he's going to go right over, and he's going to pick up the other side, and he's going to put it right together.
Amen.
I will admit that true manifestation is the evidence of the Holy Spirit doing mighty acts. Okay? It's not the evidence of you being spirit-born, spirit-filled, but it is a true manifestation is the evidence that the Holy Ghost is doing something. See? But it is not the evidence of the individual being spirit-filled.
Amen.
That's the difference. It's not the evidence of that individual. So what is that? Is exactly what he taught in Anointed Ones at the End Time. Exactly what he taught. See? Even though that individual has an abundance of those manifestations, that does not prove that that person is spirit-born and spirit-filled.
Right.
It just means that the Holy Ghost is doing great manifestations in their life or through their ministry or through whatever they're doing. That's totally up to God. the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost today is just the same as it was back in the days of our Lord. Amen. It's receiving the word of truth for the day in which you live. Now that's simple, powerful, enlightening. It is as simple as it gets. He says it many times. And he says it with a little bit different twist in different ways. But this here is just as plain as you get it because he identifies it in every way. It's receiving the word of truth for the day in which you live. It's not because you can believe what Noah did or what Moses did or what any of the rest of them did. It's believing what God is doing right now. That's what it is. Jesus never did stress the importance of the works as he did the word. And he knew that if the people got the word, the works would follow. That is Bible. Amen. Now, Jesus knew there was going to be a terrible drift away from the word in the Pergamon age, which was as yet 200 years off from Patmos vision. He knew the drift would cause them to go into the dark ages. He knew that the way man originally got away from God was by first leaving the word. That's how man gets away. He leaves the word. If you leave the word, you have left God.
That's right.
Thus, he is presenting himself to the church at Pergamos and indeed to all churches of all ages. I am the word. And if you want deity in your midst, then welcome and receive the word. Praise be to God.
Amen.
That's is simple. That's good. That's good for our children to know. If you want God in your midst, then have the word in your midst. Invite him into your midst.
That's right.
And stand on his word. If you want deity, if you want God, then you're going to have to receive him for the word in the day and the age that you live in. Then welcome and receive the word. Don't ever let anyone or anything get between you and that word. And this which I'm giving you, the word, is a revelation of myself. I am the word. Remember that. Praise be to God. That's God talking. That's God expressing himself. I wonder if we are sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst. It is a good question. It's something we should ask ourselves on a regular basis.
Amen.
Are we impressed what God has done in our day? Are we impressed what God is doing right now in this day, in this hour, in our midst?
Amen.
Are we impressed? Not what some man is doing, what some preacher is doing, what some group is doing, but what God is doing in this day. Let me give you a thought here. How do we pray? We pray in Jesus' name, don't we? Every prayer is in his name or there isn't any answer. And yet in 1 John 5:14, we are told, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, anything, according to his will. Now, there's the catch. Young people, there's the catch. If you ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him.
Amen.
Now we ask, what is the will of God? And there's only one way to know his will, and that is by the word of God. You want the will of God? You got to know the word of God. There's no other way. He said it over and over. There's only one way to know. In Lamentations 3:37, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Huh? No, if the Lord hadn't commanded it, it's not going to happen. God's will is his word. Watch. There it is. If it isn't in the word, you can't have it.
That's right.
Listen, I'm pointing out to young people because this, when you pray, this is how you know if this is in God's realm, he says that whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. But he's telling you it's going to be according to his will. And his will is going to be his word. And so if you're asking something that's outside of the word, that's you don't want it. You don't want it. See, there it is. If it isn't in the word, you can't have it. So we can't ask unless it's in the word. So when he says it like that, we can't ask unless it's in the word. He's saying that you know the word. And you're not going to ask something outside of the word. You're going to ask according to the word because you know the word is the will of God. See, we can't petition or ask unless it's in his name. There it is again. Jesus, the name, is the word will. You can't separate God and the word. They are one. And you're not going to separate the bride and Christ because they are one. Now then, this word he has left behind on the printed pages is a part of him. When you accept it by faith into a spirit-filled life, he said that his word was life. John 6:63. But that is exactly what he is. See? John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Huh? He is the life. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Comes back to that life, don't it? I just heard a preacher the other day, and he said something we've all said many, many times. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And the thing has just been, keeps coming back to me over and over and over and again. The letter killeth. It's the Spirit that giveth life. We read a quote not too long ago, and Brother Branham said, the word without the Spirit is just a word. It's just where it's just the letter of the word. But when the Spirit quickens that word, it makes that word live.
That's right.
And so when I'm thinking about the scripture there, the letter killeth. We're not arguing about the life. The life is God. And he is, I know, he's the word. Yeah, you say, I'm not trying to separate them, but they are separated. If the word hasn't been quickened, if it hasn't been quickened, then there's a separation. And so it's got to be quickened. It's got to be the life. As it's been said many times, no matter how much I understand the mysteries, how much I understand anything else, if the life isn't there, it's no good. It's no good. It don't matter if we preach. It don't matter if we sacrifice everything we have. It don't matter if we give all our money to the poor. It don't matter what we do. If the life is not there, if God, in his predestination, in his foreknowledge, has not seen a seed there and does not quicken that, if he does not quicken a seed in us, then this is all fine. I would rather be here than be a drunk on the street. But it's not eternal life. Because there's only one eternal life. And that eternal life is when God puts a seed in this veil of flesh. And he quickens that seed and he makes it live. And he vindicates his presence. You can't vindicate his presence. You can't make people see that God is in you. You can't do it. God is making people see himself in you. God's doing it. It's got to be him. If it's not, then he's not there. But if he is there, you can be sure he is going to vindicate his presence. Everything that you go through, everything that you do, there'll be highs and lows, sure. You're not just going to be walking through the walls and a supernatural everything you do. No, that's not it. But it's going to be God is going to be manifesting himself through every battle, through every trial, through everything that comes along your way. You aren't going to have any control. He is going to express himself.
Yes, sir.
That's what had to happen in this day. Mm-hmm. There it is. He is spirit and he's life. And that is exactly what the word is. That's exactly what Jesus is. He is the word. So when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes the word of God into his heart and places it upon his lips, why, that is the same as deity speaking.
Yes,
praise be to God. That's not the man anymore. That's God speaking now. Why? Because of two descriptions he gave here. Spirit-born, spirit-filled. Because you have had something take over. You're just like you didn't have no control when you came for that natural birth from your mother. You didn't have anything to do with it. You didn't know what was going on. It just happened. And there you was crying. And it took some time for your eyes to open. It took some time for you to realize what had happened. It took some time for you to realize that that was your mom and daddy. It took some time for you to come to maturity. And so was it when that spiritual birth took place. Brother Branham said you were just staggering along. You were just going here and there and here and there. You thought you had a plan, and maybe you did. But you didn't know his plan. He's the one who got you. He's the one who drawed you. He's the one that put something in there that made you want him. And that's the thing. That's something that he put in there. Because that's exactly what he told that man, that car salesman. When that man had for all of those years didn't want God, he didn't have no desire for God. His wife was a Christian, he had no desire. But one day he had that piece of paper in his pocket and he looked at it and he read those words. And those words begin to burn. They begin to burn and they created a desire within him to get the answer to the question. And he began to seek God. And he went this way and that way and this way and that way. And Brother Branham said, it was right there when he began to pull you. He was pulling you. And you were desiring it. And you were searching for the true revelation of the word of your day. And he got over there to Oral Roberts and he had a little bit of word, but it just wasn't enough to satisfy because that seed was a predestinated seed for this last day. That wasn't predestinated for Pentecost. So he had to have something more. Yeah, he was okay with that, but it didn't finish it. It didn't settle it. And he went to Billy Graham, the same thing. He went everywhere he could go to try to get it. And finally, because he was a seed, God put him face to face with the prophet.
Amen.
And that's what God does with every seed. He brings you to thus saith the Lord. And when you get to thus saith the Lord, you're done there. That's your home. You've arrived. See, it's the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go, and Satan cannot stand before that man. And what's that man going to ask for when he prays? The will of God. He's going to, anytime he prays, he's going to be answered. He's going to pray for the will of God. He's going to pray that God will do what God wants done. This is page 171, paragraph 1. Here is what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction is that each species brings forth after its own kind. Even according to Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And whatever life was in the seed came forth into a plant, and thence into the fruit. And the very same law applies to the church today. The same thing in that fruit tree out there is the same thing in every person. See? Whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed because it's the same seed. And in these last days, The true bride church, not in the Ephesian age, not in some other day and time, but in this last day. In this last day, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone, and she will be the super church, a super race. As she nears him, they and the bride will be so much like him that they will even be in his very image. And this is in order, not to make us big, not to make us put on a show, not to make us do any of that. No, this is in order to be united with him. Why? Because it's the same thing. It's the same nature. It's just the same nature. And I ran across that quote this morning, and I read it. When I found it, I read it to my wife, because those it is hard to say, you know, whatever you say, you're going to disagree with somebody. Not everybody believes that the soul is eternal. And some people believe if you believe the soul is eternal, then you're lost, because then you have some other doctrine, you have some other idea, you have something. But Brother Branham said that which we have is the nature of God. When you're born again, you have the nature of God. And so if you have the nature of God, and Brother Branham said, the soul is the nature, then we don't get the nature of the world. We get the nature of God. And the nature of God is eternal. That's what it is. God's nature don't begin, it don't stop, it don't have a beginning, it don't have an ending, it don't have anything. And when you're born again, that's what you get. Yes. Right there, that's what you get. So thus, that eternal part of you is what God is working on. Amen. That's what he's working on. That's his seed. That's that gene, that germ, that soul, that nature. That's God. Yes, sir. It's not something that's being... This is my message right here. I just was reading that this morning, and you get to reading those things, and it stirs you up. And so, he comforts us in his word. He comforts the bride in his word. That's where we live. That's where we make love to him, is in this revelation. The bride will be so much like him, till they will even be in his very image. And this is in order to be united with him. They'll be one. They will be, listen to this. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. And God is the word. So what this bride is nothing less than the very manifestation of God on the earth in this last day. That's God's words. That's not some preacher coming up with this idea of what he thinks it's going to be. That's what God said is happening right now. God has a bride that he is taking complete control of, and he is bringing to manifestation of his word, of his life, of his nature. And she is completely surrendered to that. And because his seed is in her, and so the only thing, because God has a law, and that law says that every seed can only bring forth of its kind. And so that's what's happening. Whatever seed is in there is the seed that's coming out. See? They will be one. They'll be the very manifestation of the word of the living God, and denominations cannot produce this. It's the wrong seed. They will produce their creeds and their dogmas mixed with the word. So they're going to have some word, but it's not going to be pure word. This mongrelizing brings forth a hybrid product. Yes, amen. So dropping down, page 171, paragraph 4. From a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ with a beloved bride. Amen. And she is a virgin of his word. Yes, now he is given the description. We're not doing that. He's doing that. God is the one. God is the one who's describing his wife. God is the one who is declaring that his wife is a virgin of his word. And he's going to tell us what it means. She's a virgin because she knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. By and through the members of the bride will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. Wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it? That's a lot. Let's just read it one more time. She is a virgin because she knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. She only knows the pure word. How does she know that? It was given to her by revelation. She didn't have no control of that either. He just revealed himself to her, and just out of the blue, she didn't have nothing to do with it. He did it all on his own. See? By and through the members of the bride will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. Praise be to God. You are that virgin. The word of promise came to the Virgin Mary, but the word of promise was he himself. Praise be to God. To be manifested. See? It came into the body. It was to be brought forth. See, the word of promise was he himself to be made manifest. God made manifest, he himself acted at that time and fulfilled his own word of promise in the virgin. It was an angel that had brought her the message. But the angel's message was the word of God. Isaiah 9:6. He fulfilled at that time all that was written of him because she accepted his word to her. Oh, you know he's not going to stop there. He's going to bring it right into this bride. The members of the virgin bride will love him. And they will have his potentials. For he is their head. And all power belongs to him. They are subject to him as members of our bodies are subject to our heads. That's right. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. In John 15:19, this harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. Brother, sister, this is a tall order. And this is God is the one who's declaring this. God, this is what God is saying he is going to have in his bride. And this is not a maybe. This is not if you feel like it. This is not if you do good and you produce this and you manufacture. No, God is going to have this. God is going to manifest his life, his word, his nature in a body, a bride in this last day. She is going to have harmony with God. Think about that. She's going to have harmony with God so much so that she isn't going to do anything until he shows her. And how is she going to know? Because she knows the word. Because she knows the will. Because she knows what he wants done with the word. She knows because he's revealed it to her. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. And he shows her his word of life. And she receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her. Not even death.
That's right.
For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. And here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. And she performs, She performs the command of the word in his name.
That's right.
For she has thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit. And it comes to pass. See,
Amen.
The new birth, brings it to you. The Spirit-filled life brings it to you. You take the word in your lips and you begin to speak what God has said, and then He quickens that word. He vindicates it. He proves it. He's proven to those around you. He's proven that that life is living in you. And that it's not you anymore. That it's Christ. And you do what you wouldn't do. You do what He is molding you and making you do. He's doing just what He did. Just what He would do in this day. He's doing it through you. Like a seed that is planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Amen. Oh my. He quickens it. Oh, praise God. He quickens that seed, that word in you. Those in the bride do only His will. Now that's that harmony between the Father and the Son. That's that harmony between the husband and the wife. There's a harmony there. My daughter and I was talking this morning about just marriage, and when a woman submits herself to a man, and she was, actually what it was, she come to me asking me about feminism and what it was, and so it's so radical. Even the dictionary makes it radical. It says there's so many different levels of feminism that it's just crazy. And so she was trying to find one that was okay. And I was like, well, dear, the problem is God put you here, put all of us here to submit completely to Him. Amen. And I said, the woman is a type of that. And I said, she's to submit completely to her husband. And she said, I don't have any problem with the cooking and cleaning and taking care and all that. And I said, no. I said, that's not it. I said, that's just a part of it. I said, that's what a lot of women think. If I cook, I'm a good cook. I take care of the house. I do this, I do that. Then I've done my part. No, it's full surrender. God wants it from us. And He wants the wife to give it to the husband. It's surrender in everything. It's not you got your little secrets. It's not you got your girlfriend and you tell her all your secrets and you do what you want and then you sneak around behind your husband's back. It's not that one. It's not that one. No, it's when you have completely surrendered to your husband in everything. And when he speaks, that is a command to you. Anything he speaks. And that's why I told her, I said, when you get married, you want to know that that man is born by the word of this age. You want to know that that man is sold out to God. I said, because outside of that, he's going to take advantage of you. Because you, as a Christian, you're going to surrender all to him. And I said, then he's going to use you and abuse you. Unless he's a genuine believer. And when he's a genuine believer, then you are going to become a queen. You're going to be a queen. You're going to sit at his side. And he's not just going to whip you and make you do everything. He's going to talk to you. And he's going to want to know what you think and what you feel. Amen.
That's right.
Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works. They know that it's God. And just like Nicodemus said, we know that it's God. We know that it's God. And people will look at you and they will know that it's God. They'll know it. You know, God gives us favor sometimes with our children or maybe with somebody at work, maybe with your neighbor, maybe with another believer, whatever. But sometimes he lets things happen. He lets somebody see something that they know was God did that for you. And I remember one time that we used to do this waterproofing product,
And Michael knows about it. Several of the boys that we took them, had them trained to do it. And so we had this home show, a builder show in Charlotte. And my son and I went over there and we were doing this. We were had on display all of our products and everything. And so we were getting ready to come back home, and it was kind of not too late, maybe around 9 or so. But we were in a hurry to get home. And so we got out to the truck, and I had an old truck at that time, and it wouldn't crank. And so we turned it, and it just, and so it wasn't. So we was trying to get somebody to help us, and there was some people leaving also, and so we was asking around. And so we thought we found somebody there, and so they were all kind of outside, and I got back in the truck, and I was just sitting there. And I just bowed my head. I bowed my head and I prayed. And I asked the Lord if he would just give us favor. And so I just reached down. I turned the key and the truck cranked up. And I didn't know anybody was looking. I didn't know anybody was watching. And my son was standing outside the door. And the window was closed, but he looked up. And I could hear him through the window. He said, "I saw that. I saw that." And it just made it made an impression. It made an impression on me. I don't know what impression it made on him, but it made an impression on me because I thanked God for his mercy and grace. But every believer can testify of something like that. You have something that God did for you. Maybe you alone or maybe in front of somebody because God wanted to show his presence. And he wanted those people to see his presence in you. And so he allows those things sometimes. God's not in show business. I'm 100% God's not in the show business. But God's vindicating his word. And God vindicates it to the elect. He vindicates it to those ones he wants to see. He wants them to see the supernatural. He wants them to know. And I had another supernatural thing happen one time. We had just got married, and we were renting a trailer from these two old ladies. They were sisters. I don't know if they were widows. I don't know what they were, but they were old. And so they had this real old house. And so they had bought this trailer, and they lived in it a while, and they didn't like it. And they went back to the old house. And they lived, and they had chickens and guineas and everything running all over. And they had to close the gate every time you come in. So it was just our first place that we had after we got married. And so the place had so many roaches; it was full of roaches. And so my first thing I ever bought was one of those little garden pump sprayers that you know to spray. And so I would buy some rat, whatever it was that you sprayed for roaches. And so I'd go at the tub and fill it up with water and put some killer in there and pump it up and go around the house and just spray for the roaches because they were so bad. And so so when I got finished, I was washing it out. I was washing it out, and it has a little tip, a little brass tip right on the end of it. If any of those garden sprayers you've seen, them, all of them have it. Nowadays, they're having a lot of plastic ones now, but they were all brass back then. It had a little brass tip right there. And so then the one that has the holes in it is underneath that. That holds it in there. And so I took that out and was trying to clean it and wash all the poison off of everything, you know, and get it ready. And that thing fell in the drain. It fell in the drain. And I was so disappointed because I don't know how much I paid for that. It wasn't very much, but we didn't have money. We didn't have money. We were poor. And it just we were just getting by. And so I lost that the tip off that thing. I didn't know if you could buy that or what back in those days. It was a long time ago. And so I just put it up. And so one day, I don't know, there was a closet. Was behind that shower. There was a closet behind it. And back in those days, I didn't know you could maybe take the trap off and it would be in the trap. I didn't know that. I didn't know nothing about building or plumbing in those days. And so, but one day, I had to get in that closet for something. And I got down on my knees and I was looking. I seen that plumbing right there. and the plumbing. It was for the tub. And I'm looking there, and the 2x4 goes across, and there's a little hole where you can see in there and see the pipes. And that tip was laying on top of that 2x4. It was laying there. And I looked at it, and I couldn't believe it. I just looked at it, and I said, it must be a different tip. It can't be the same tip. And I thought, no, now I'm doubting that God would do that for me. And we were just very young. I mean, we had just become Christians. We just got married. And everything was just new. You know, this was just within months. And so I looked at that tip, and it was exactly the same brass tip. It was exactly everything. It was brand new. And it was sitting right beside, on the 2x4, right beside the drain that it was supposed to be inside of. And, you know, you that was just for me. That was just for me. And, you know, you tell that to people and they wouldn't even believe you. That's just crazy, you know. And that, it was for me. It shook me up. It shook me up because I came straight out of the world. I didn't come out of churches and denomination. I came out of the world into the message. And that just shook me up. And so I knew that God was showing me something. He was showing me his presence. He was proving to me not only that this message was real, but that he was real and that he is here. And just, you know, I don't know if maybe I've mentioned that once or twice in all my years of preaching, but I just felt led to say it tonight for some reason. But I know every believer has the same thing. You could sit right here and tell something that God has done for you over and over and vindicated. And he did it just for you. He did it just for you. Because God is going to vindicate his word to his seed. That's what he's doing. Praise God. See? Now, I'm backing up a little bit here. See, they know it's got to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all of his work while in his earthly ministry. So now he works in and through the bride. And she knows that. For it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. Are you listening? Because this is you. This is you because he's revealed to you that everything he's done up to this time, he was doing himself or using somebody, but now, at this time now, he's called you on the scene. Yes, and now what he's going to do now, he's revealed to you that he hadn't did everything yet, but he's got some more, and he's going to do it through you. Yes, he's going to do it through you. She knows that. For it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Praise be to God. Oh my. That's so good. And now, okay, we're running out of time here. I don't really want to start this next quote because I won't get it done. But I would like to read at least one part here. I'd just like to read. So I'm going to just continue for a few paragraphs here. This is in The Seed Is Not Air with the Shuck. Now, it could not be air with Ishmael. See? The seed of the bondswoman, see, because of the doubting, Sarah doubted God's word that God was able to keep it. Now notice Abraham now. You see what I'm building on for Sunday morning. Abraham did not doubt it. That's right. Sarah did doubt it. She was the one. It was not Adam that doubted. It was Eve that doubted. See, it was the feminine part. And you say that's not throwing off on the sisters because we are the feminine. We are the feminine of God. And it got doubted down through the ages. When Pentecost poured out, it got doubted. He was taking the bride. It got doubted. See? But this bride's not going to doubt. This bride is going to come to full manifestation of everything that he promised to be in the bride. Neither can the natural be heir with the spiritual, no more than Ishmael's children can be heir with Isaac's children, and no more than the carnal can be heir with the spiritual. Church natural, church spiritual. There is a church natural that these women here type, and there's a church spiritual also. So the natural church and the spiritual church cannot be heirs together. Listen to this. This is what I wanted to hit before we close. They are two different, separate times. They're two different times. They're two different separate peoples under two different separate covenants. They're under different covenants. God has a covenant with His bride, with His wife. Amen. And it ain't with nobody else. So it's not, nobody else is heir to it. Some of those things that we see happen in the Bible are hard to understand sometimes. I always thought how that Abraham could send his wife away. I don't care if it was the third, fourth, fifth, or tenth wife. How could he send his wife away? How could you do that? God told him to do it. First, his wife told him to do it, and he wasn't going to do it. Then God told him to do it. God has a purpose, and God has a reason. That's why the rapture is different. It will only be for the royal seed of Abraham. It cannot come by natural carnal seed of the church. It'll have to be the royal seed of the Word of God. Amen. Through Abraham, the royal seed. That's why the rapture has to be first. Amen. Praise be to God. I'm going to stop right there, and we'll pick it up on Sunday. And so we'll ask you to stand together with us. And so let's really be in prayer. We got sick people. We got people on the verge of death. We got two brothers in Kenya already died. And so the families are mourning, and they're trying to raise money for the burial. And so let us be in prayer and be a part of that. And so of God to help us. And so we're going to ask Brother Goomba if he'll come and dismiss us in a word of prayer tonight. And let's just continue to surrender all, knowing that God is doing something in His bride, in His wife.
God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful when you talk, Lord God. And when you hear, Father, you talk. You say, my brother, Lord, we are thankful, Father, for that. Lord, you know how to feed your children. And Lord, tonight we fed. We are so thankful for that, Lord. Now, Lord, we have some needs that we want to commit to you. As you mentioned, Father, both Brother Dongo and Brother Willis, Brother Lord God, we commit the families to you, Lord. We know, Father, they're suffering at heart, Lord God. They need comfort, Father. And nobody can give that, Lord God, except He. We commit them to you. Have mercy upon even the people that were fellowshipping with in Thika Church, Lord God. Father, they feel, Father, that something has departed from them. Death is always painful, Father. And we know how they're feeling, Lord. We commit them to you for comfort. There's also another issue here, Father, that's very touching, Lord God. About Brother Michael's mother. Lord, we've seen you very many times come on the scene, Lord, and do some things, Lord. We believe you. The Lord, you do whatever, Father, that you like. And we cannot twist you and tell you what to do, even in this matter. Our desire is, Lord God, that she gets straight and she gets back to her feet again. That's our desire, Lord. But thy will be done in all things. Above everything, Lord, Father, sometimes we fear to talk to you about this, is the soul. We want her soul, Lord God. Be wrapped up with thy love, Lord God. We want that soul, Lord God, on your on your arms, Lord. We want that soul there, Lord, where, Father, she will have a heart to believe you completely, Lord God, and surrender, Lord. And we know, Father, that you can do that because there's no man, Father, who saves people. It's only thee. Father, we know you can do it. Remember one time when Brother Abraham lost his mother, he said, Father, that there were a lot of things, Lord God, there could have been a lot of things that the mother would have left them. Maybe money and land, Lord God, that they would be fighting for after she departed. But he said that he left one of the greatest things, Lord God, an assurance in their hearts, in Brother Bram's heart, in his brothers and sisters' hearts, Lord, that he is alive in his theophany, in the sixth sea, Lord, in the sixth dimension. What a great thing, Lord God, that you can assure people with, Father. So here I'm standing, Lord. I pray for that body, Father, that the pain goes. I pray, Father, that if it be thine will, heal her and let her start again, because you are able to do that. But above everything, Lord, I pray for the surrendering of that soul completely to you, Father. That when times to come to go, because one time you go, it's an assurance in our hearts that she will be in your hearts. And after a short while, we find her there. Or maybe we can even go before her. Whatever it is, let it be that our souls surrender completely to you. Her soul completely surrender to you. Whether here on earth or in heaven, we always be together in all things, Lord. We give glory and honor to you now as we dismiss. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.